Available on iTunes Podcasts, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers, sisters, friends, and enemies, welcome to What's at Stake, the DC Takeover Town Hall Edition. So whether you believe the system is broken and needs to be fixed or is fixed and needs to be broken, you came to the right place. I'm your guest host, Kimon Freeman, Angry Black Man in Therapy. Some of you may know me from the Black Love Festival, where I produced 14 festivals over the course of the past 25 years, or WEAC Radio in Anacostia, or as the leading D.C. delegate candidate in the last election. I was mentored by the late, great Lou Hankins, former program director here at WPFW. This is only my second time as guest host since I sat in for the iconoclastic Garland Nixon. Now, dearly beloved, we are here to get through this thing we call life. The master teacher, Dr. Francis Crest Wilson, via Mr. Nellie Fuller, taught us that until we understand the institution of white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything else we think we understand will only confuse you. And in that confusion, some people actually think that the D.C. takeover is a legitimate response to crime, despite the fact that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson's district in Louisiana, has a much higher crime rate than D.C. Some people think that Mayor Bowser is in a tough position and is just doing what she has to do, as if doing whatever Trump tells her to do and hope for the best is somehow a good strategy. Some people point to the arrests that have been made or guns that have been seized to claim as if this is all working. But just like the mafia still controls the sanitation department in New York City, just because the trash is being picked up doesn't mean there ain't no jiggy boogie going on, just like Barbara Roach Brown would say. But this is not just about the mayor or our beloved congresswoman, who is a complete non-factor. It's much bigger than that. The attacks on D.C.'s autonomy and threats to home rule is straight from the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 playbook. Where is the entire CBC on this? Gearing up for another party. Where is Obama, who still has a residence here in D.C.? Where is the rest of the Democratic Party? Where is the opposition? We are facing another government shutdown in a few short weeks. And will Chuck Schumer and the Democratic establishment capitulate again and completely give over to the continuation and preservation of Trump's authoritarianism, consolidation of power? Political magazine said it best. Trump 1.0 was the resistance. Trump 2.0 is the acquiescence. Here to help me unpack all of this, because solutions will not come from the mainstream. That stream has been polluted. I am joined here today by Dr. Nellie Hopkinson, co-founder of the Gogol Museum and professor at the American University School of Communications, Jamila White, Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner, Nene Taylor, Harriet's Wildest Dreams, and Free DC, and Crystal Noam, Listen Local First. Now, normally it would be ladies first, but since we have a panel filled with rebellious, beautiful warriors, so Chris, we're going to allow you to use your white privilege and start with you first, sir. Chris is a music activist and an advocate in D.C. He's a festival producer, events director, curator, organizer, policy nerd, and a lover of art and music, who has a wonderful challenge to the artists in the DMV. Just like Nina Simone said, artists must reflect the times they live in. Mr. Noam, the floor is yours, my brother.
Thank you, Kimon. I'm honored, and what an amazing set of guests today. I want to say first at the top, I do also work for the city, but none of my views, these are my views as an activist and an organizer. None of my views reflect the work of the Arts Commission. This is just me on my own here. I have been doing organizing Listen Local First for just about 15 years. The call to artists, to bring artists together, to celebrate DC's culture and celebrate the amazingly talented art that happens in DC is so important. So right now we have the problem with, like, this is the worst PR a city could get. And so my call a couple weeks ago that has been slowly been picking up is that I think the rest of the world and the rest of the city needs to understand, like, the people live here, people make art here, amazing talented artists come from here. And you know, there's more than just what's happening up on the hill. So we've asking artists to do a 30 second pitch and be like, why are you a DC artist? Why do you love DC? And artists are really important at a time like this because artists are a megaphone. I mean, all of you are people on this call that have followings that people know, that people respect. But artists themselves, they have followings. They have people who look to their art, to look to their music. So to get artists to say this also engages a lot more people and has a lot more reach. And so the idea is I know hashtags are done, but I've been asking folks, say use a hashtag We Are DC, We Art DC, to put the information out there, say why you live there. That's my spiel on the artists. I mean, in terms of the takeover, I feel like we have the ability to be using the activation of the networks we have more effectively than they're being used. I know there's FreeDC and a lot of other stuff. We have tens of thousands, hundred thousands of people that want to be activated at this moment. Banging pots outside and walking across streets and chanting songs is great, is one thing. But the need for non-violent militant action is what I feel right now is an organization is so important. Like, if we can get 100 texts a day from campaigns asking to give money, how can we not mobilize people in the city to show up when there's an ICE raid, to be there? Because they can't arrest 100 people. If 100 people show up and lay down in front of a car, sit down around these officers, they can't do anything. They're going to have to leave. So I as an organizer myself, and able to organize volunteers and festivals and stuff like that, I'm disappointed that there's not a more organized focus right now in combating all this militantism throughout the city when it's showing up in our neighborhoods. So that's my initial piece.
Well, that's what we're here to do. And thank you for your do something, sir. Now, Dr. Natalie, you just recently published an article in the Chicago Sun-Times. You had to go over to Chicago to get published. I guess Jeff Bezos' paper couldn't take it. But you said that fear of black crime is one of the oldest political dog whistles. Now, brown immigrants are being scapegoated along with the black community to justify Trump's militarization. Take us from there, Dr. Natalie Hopkinson.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so excited to see these people on my screen. And my queen, Nene Tay, Free DC. I have to disagree a little bit with you, Chris. People have been asking me since this has been going on, what should we be doing? And I've been sending them right to Free DC, who've been organizing and they've been doing an amazing job. The banging on, I mean, that is doing something. Like, they are on CNN, they're controlling the narrative. I mean, they've been filling a void that's extremely important, as have WPFW. I can't listen to WAMU or NPR right now. They're too calm, their voices are too calm. And what I appreciate about DC and why I've lived here and stayed here for 30 years is that people are doing the kind of organizing that you're talking about. I know people who are organizing around ICE at schools. They have checkpoints. Like, people are extremely organized. And, and of course, there's more to be done. But Kimon, love what you said about the CBC playing another party. You know, like, there are actually organizations that exist in DC for this moment. And the Congressional Black Caucus is one of them. And it is absolutely disgusting that, yeah, they are planning the next party. Like, that's absolutely true. So the piece that I wrote in the Sun-Times, I really did have to go to Chicago. I've never had such a hard time getting a piece published. But basically, I looked at the absolute nonsense that this whole occupation is based on, which is that image of this white teenager, bloodied, propped up against a pest control vehicle. Like, this is what was posted on Truth Social and launched the military occupation. There was no fact finding. There was no, and supposedly a 15-year-old girl and a 15-year-old boy are the ones that caused this carnage, right? Against these two documentedly shady members of the Trump administration. So, I mean, we've gone to war, they've gone to war on the Chocolate City over this nonsense, and we can't even take a time to like have a proper investigation of, first of all, who are these shady people who are making these claims? How reliable are they as narrators? You know, there's just everybody's falling down, and I just hate it here. I hate it here, except for NeNe, Free DC. That's my queen and everybody who's following her.
There we go. Now, Reverend Al Sharpton recently spoke at Andrew Rankin Memorial Chapel, and he said, this is what he had to say. Somebody's got to beg you to stand up to Trump. You must have Negro amnesia, educated and scared. Now, you know something wrong. Reverend Al Sharpton is a more radical voice than we actually getting from our elected leadership here in the nation's capital. NeNe, now, normally I'd frown upon Saturday afternoon protests, okay? Dr. John Henry Clark said marching is good for the cardiovascular system. Alexander Haig said, you know, they can march all they want as long as they continue to pay their taxes. But Free DC has used a metric of defining, what is it? The critical mass is 3.5% of a population. Actually, that's universally accepted as the critical mass metric. And in DC, that's 24,000 people. I have to shameless self-promotion that I got 22,000 votes in the last election. So that is a very doable number. But you guys are actually organizing. You're not just engaged in symbolism here. Take us to the framework that you've been doing with Harriet's Wildest Dream and the work of FreeDCProject.org.
Hey, thank you, Kamal. And first, I want to acknowledge, God, I'm a Black woman. You always had a white man open up the door for me for future reference. I'm just saying, don't ever let not a white man open the door for me, right? But shout out to him for being here. And also, I want to be reemphasize what Natalie said, yeah, that sounds easy to put 100,000 bodies on the ground and be in front of the car, but we actually get shot. So, you know, that's a privileged thing to be able to go out there and lay in front of some cars and lay in front of the White House. Black people actually get shot and killed. And so we ask people to move in their privilege. I know that for instance, if I were to try to do what my sister Olivia done last night, shout out to Olivia confronting Trump right in his face with his cabinet, I would have been chained today. Let's be clear on that. So shout out to my allies taking a stand in a resistance way that's impactful, right? So I appreciate my comrades at Code Pink and Olivia and them showing up. Let's make it national news where they literally went there and confronted Trump and told him he's the Hitler of this time. So that's the work I need for my allies. Impactful work. And with that being said, yes, right now we are mobilizing. We mobilize to organize. You don't see me in those streets like I was in 2020. And I want to be clear, this is not my first rodeo with Trump. I had a rodeo with Trump in 2017. We blocked his inauguration and told him he wasn't welcome in D.C. So let's be clear. Black people have been doing this work before this occupation started. So we're not new to this work. We're true to this work. And with that being said, we are supporting Free D.C. to get the mass people organized so that we can have the numbers to resist, because with the power of the people, imagine we hold that person up, and it only takes us to move our hands for that to fall. So you look at it like this: all these people holding this white supremacist up in the air, and we build it, and we said we don't want to do this anymore, right? And we fight back, right? It's going to fall in a non-corporation way, right? And I don't believe in nonviolence. It's no such thing as nonviolence when Black people put their bodies on the line. We are in a yellow already, get ready to go to red because we just Black. So be clear on like what not using that word nonviolence. There's no such thing as a nonviolence action for NeNe Tay, right? And secondly, we're doing the work, whereas we have the programs that was already in place. We had the programs already in place. So all this new energy, thank you. But we want you all to follow the leads of the people who have been doing this work already. Our work started over 400 years ago, right? And so therefore we had programs like on Monday, we were down at jail supporting, court watching, snatching back the 105 of our community members that were snatched by the enslaved catcher, right? We're working on their cases to get them free because they're misdemeanors. It's about numbers. It's about fascism. It's about authoritarianism. That's it.
That's it. It's not about public safety. So be careful how you move, because what we're trying to do is stop a dictatorship of the United States. This is just not your regular rodeo. So be careful how you move in these streets. This is not going to end today. It's not going to end tomorrow. This is the, we're building and land the blocks for our future generation. We're not free until all of us are free. So shout out to the white people that's showing up, but be careful and take the lead of black people, especially black DC natives, and black people have been organizing in DC for a while. Take the lead from them. We've been here before.
Thank you, Nene. One of the things I love about the work of Free DC is that they have in small meetings in every ward across the city. And one of the last meetings, you had a slides entitled Forms of Participation. You broke it down to three categories: symbolic actions, alternative systems, and non-cooperation. I just want to take a moment to share this with our listening audience. Symbolic actions are actions that raise public awareness and an attempt to persuade, target, act in the desired way. Those examples are marches, rallies, letter writing, group lobbying, and bird dogging. If you're not familiar with bird dogging, that's when you see what Cole Pink just did, where they stick a camera in the face and speak truth to power directly and get a reaction. Alternative systems, these are actions that create alternatives to institutions or policies that are failing us. They often disrupt or directly challenge the current system. Examples of that is mutual aid, guerrilla gardening, citizens' arrest, and I love this one, like the Black Panther free breakfast program. Now, and finally, non-cooperation, my favorite, to undermine the authority of an unjust system by refusing to cooperate with it or otherwise making it harder or impossible for the system to keep its unfair policy. I submit to you, that's where we are right now. And examples of that is worker strikes, boycotts, rent strikes, and my personal favorite, tax refusal. Shout out to the new DC license plates. If you haven't seen that, it says we demand statehood. I love that. And then finally, jury conscientious objection. I define that as jury nullification. For the last introduction, we have Jamila, Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner. Unfortunately, there has been so many people who have been direct victims of crime and violence. So in their desperation, they have clinged to the notion of Trump's militarization as if it was purely about violence prevention and crime prevention. Jamila, what are you hearing east of the river from your constituents, and what is your position on a D.C. takeover from your point of view?
Thank you, everyone. Peace and blessings. It's so good to always be in the presence of you people, especially Nene, in which I'm the proud board chair of Harriet's Wildest Dreams, the baddest abolition organization in the land. I'll speak from a few point of views, just starting with a personal point of view. I'm an abolitionist and a liberationist. There's no point I could ever accept, you know, or support any type of occupation. I think some of the things that, for me, we need to be very clear, just like I think maybe it was Dr. Hopkinson's mentioned, like this is a part of Project 2025, but not even Project 2025. Let's go back to the 1950s, where we really started to see this being built up and how institutions have been put in place. So this is a part of the white supremacy agenda. And so I want us to be very clear that this is an attack on Black lives, and whether it's occupation, taking money from our budgets, this is not going to stop, right? It's going to increase because we have a pocket of people in this country who feel that their numbers are dwindling. They will not be the majority in terms of the number of folks in the U.S. And so their goal over the last 40 plus years and realizing that is, how do we keep a white majority that's focused on, you know, fake white evangelicism and a Christianity that's unfamiliar to me. So I want us to remember, whether it's this tactic or not, this is what's happening, and like being able to resist. From what I'm hearing from a lot of my community, and I want to be honest, east of the river, Ward 8, Anacostia, nobody's monolithic. Every single person has different views and opinions. But one thing we all agree on is that we want communities that we deserve. We should not have to cross the river. We should not have to see wealth concentrated in primarily white communities that used to be Black, first of all, while we have the other end of it. And so we didn't get here overnight. And we know that policing is not going to police our way out. And we have seen time and time how investments are really focused on keeping us impoverished instead of helping to uplift us and make opportunities for self-determination. And I think that's the one thing everyone agrees on. And people want autonomy. At the end of the day, this is a primarily democratic system, democratic society. So I don't think anyone, at least that I've talked to, supports any type of Trump intervention into what's happening. So just being very mindful that this is a deep problem. And I also want to go back to what was said earlier about, like, you know, how come we just can't get people to show up? I want to come to my community. 80% of this population is in a survival mode. 80% is in survival mode. And for too long, white people, educated people, have concentrated DC resources west of the river and have not gave a damn about the population in Ward 8 that's in 80% survival mode, where we don't have but one grocery store for 80,000 people. So keep that same energy up, right? And coming for our community and saying, why, you know, when our basic needs aren't being met, our humanity is being attacked for the last 50 years in DC, you know, and not just with this occupation. And so I think that's the narrative that's unfortunately getting lost in all of this. Because remember, Queen Mother Coretta Scott King told us poverty is violence in of itself. So our community has been in the violence of poverty, anti-Black state sanctioned poverty for decades. And that's not being addressed. That's not being screened from the rooftops from so many people that have access and resources to do something about it. So I know that didn't like quite answer your question. I took you all around. But at the end of the day, 80% of our people are in survival mode. We are not having our basic necessities being met and living in constant states of poverty and what that does to the mind, what that does to the body, and what that does to the spirit, right? And so these are things I also don't want to lose perspective over, because this is greater than Trump, because this existed before Trump became in office.
Absolutely, because I reject the notion as if everything was fine and hunky-dory before Trump got here. And you said 80% are in survival mode. Also, 80% of the city is against this militarization of D.C.'s takeover, against the mayor's capitulation to that takeover. And in addition, we have to, I would be remiss if I don't mention that the average white family in Washington, D.C. has 81 times the wealth of the average Black family in Washington, D.C. That's 81 multiples, people. And 30% of our children live beneath the poverty level. And none of those children are white. let's be clear. So we haven't even begun to talk about violence prevention, like the root causes of violence, if we want to have that conversation. But we're almost at the bottom of the hour, and I know I'm going to lose some people. But imagination is more important than knowledge. That's Albert Einstein. So I always welcome artists to be at this table. Chris, you have a call to artists. What has been your response so far? And what is your closing comments? And please be sure to share your contact information on how people can support your work.
Appreciate you. I also feel thank you for having me on here, because I'm always humbled in discussions with you, and I feel rightfully educated here, and I do wanted to say that the response has been okay. I really think, again, artists are always a large population of holding up sort of activist networks. Cause one, activism through art, activism through music. Artists have been stepping up. And so, but again, it's about putting this message outside of DC, because I'm thinking of from perspective of a city, if we don't want the next 3 years to just be everyone, everyone living in this state of additional fear and misery, and we want people to be coming here, and we want the city to be thriving. Look at the budget is going down, and the projections of the budget are going down because people don't want to come to DC. There's conferences they're here that no one's coming to because people just don't want to come here in this state right now. So if we want to try to bring people to see the real DC, I think artists and people who are voicing the community need to say that DC is still the DC that it was, and it's not this federal city. In terms of you all, Nene, it's amazing to meet you. I'm up in Ward 4. I have been to a number of free DC things. I want to get engaged. Like, I've been trying to message different people. Like, put, you know, I've been telling people, put me to work. I have afternoons after work free. I can go out and protest. Like, I want to be out there out using my privilege to lay down in front of places. Like, I emailed the arts and culture chat and they're like, this is not the place to do this. You can't talk about it. You know, I was like, there's a blockade here. We need people. And then the other day I was biking up the street and I pulled over and sent it to the cult art and culture one. Cause that's the only group I have access to that I'm not, because it's not an admin. And so I've been like, we need people here. We need, and then they've been like, don't post on this group. So, I want to be more involved. I want to be able to help you all do the work that you're doing. So thank you so much.
And your contact information for Listen Local First?
ListenLocalFirst@gmail.com. And Listen Local First, Listen Local DC on Instagram.
Thank you, Chris Vanam. Sister Nene, are we losing you at the bottom of the hour as well?
No, I'm here, baby.
You are here? Okay. Here. All right. Well, I want to, so we got just a few moments. I want to give Natalie the floor because she is my guiding star. Natalie, what would you like to see happen as we move forward?
Oh man.
Dream big.
DC is a state. DC is free. Palestine is free. We don't have felons leading the country who are bankrupting the country like they bankrupt their business. I want to know, like, the whole thing around gambling, you know, and capitalism is that, like, the casino always wins, right? The house always wins. Somehow this leader has lost over and over again. And the same thing is happening to our country. And so I think that, you know, it's hard to say in this moment when, you know, I was at the NOMA Metro and I passed six troops, you know, you're passing these troops, they're set up everywhere. It's like this surreal nightmare. You know, that I think a lot of people who've been in the Chocolate City, made it home, you know, feel comfortable here, and it's Black power, you know, the Black cultural power. This is very jolting. Like, this is a dystopian nightmare that we're living in. And so as difficult as it is, I also want us to think about, like, what is the bigger picture here? We're seeing capitalism in decline. We're seeing a country in great decline. Donald Trump is actually the least of our problems. He is using us as a distraction for his own not just his own problems and that you know, his own, you know, allegations of pedophilia, blah, 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 not just for his own thing, for the whole, like, state of a sinking ship that American capitalism is in. And so when you have, you know, I was mentioning this the other day, The Economist published a wonderful special issue last October on the American dollar and why it stayed so strong for the last 30 years, defying all predictions of American demise. The reason why we've been propping capitalism up is democracy. Every time these capitalists go too far, some Democrat comes in and fixes it. This is what the pattern has been for the last 30 years. And what I would like to know is that if our whole democracy continues to be rigged, who gonna save capitalism? You know, and this is what, like, I just don't understand about this moment. Like, there's all kinds of plays being made that, like, we're just not seeing, because, like, this, like, we need those guards for actual real things that are happening in our world. We have enemies of the United States within our country and outside of our country, and yet they want to sit here and distract us with, you know, old tropes around the Black criminals, you know, and because it's one of the oldest stereotypes, you know, these are shortcuts to character development. Black people are dangerous. Cities are dangerous. We've got to bring in like the equivalent of the slave patrols to keep these people in their place, you know. So anyway, I know I'm ranting, but yeah, I just want a free DC. And then the other thing I'll say is that there were plenty of opportunities when we were under Democratic rule, when Congress was ruled by Democrats for 40 friggin' years, and they never made DC free. Right. So, you know, and so, you know, we've always sort of made this like trade off, knowing that, okay, you know, the Black power, the Black cultural power feels good, but they, whoever gets in the White House can always step in and Bigfoot us at any time. And so, you know, we're just, all of it feels unsustainable right now. And the only thing that gives me really hope is that I was on the campus of American yesterday. And again, thanks to leaders such as Nini and Free DC, which I've seen in the streets for a while, they ain't new to this. That's why I said when the time came, I'm like, oh, they've been activating around these issues. I was so happy to see them on my campus yesterday, and the kids, you know, all these, you know, beautiful, mostly white kids talking about from DC to Palestine, occupation is a crime. That's what they were chanting on. That's what I walked out of my office, and that's what they were doing. You know, that's the kind of thing that gives me hope for like the future of what this country can be.
Thank you for the rant, that beautiful rant, Dr. Natalie Hopkins. We got to put a pin in. We got to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends and enemies, you have been listening to What's at Stake, the DC Takeover Town Hall Edition on WPFW. Be right back after these messages.
Peace. This is your social justice calendar for the week of September 8th, 2025. Wednesday, September 10th, the Institute for Policy Studies, IPS, invites you to the webinar Democratic Backsliding and Peoples, Resistance in India, the sixth session in the series Lessons from Resistance to Authoritarianism Around the World, from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. More info and registration is on ips-dc.org/events. Wednesday, September 10th is Pan-African Community Action's next Asada Shakur Study Group session. Community control over public safety, building toward decolonization, power. More info and registration is on peoplecenteredpublicsafety.eventbrite.com. On Thursday, September 11th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., Sankofa Books and Cafe presents Nobody Can Give You Freedom, The Political Life of Malcolm X book discussion with author Professor Kehinde Andrews, located on 2714 Georgia Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C. For more information, visit sankofa.com. Also, on September 11th at 6 p.m., there will be Malcolm Lives, a 20-year anniversary Busboys and Poets presentation at the 14th and B location on 2021 14th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. For more info, visit busboysandpoets.com. On Sunday, September 14th, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., the D.C. Peace Team will hold an online session entitled White Supremacy at Work. The session will explore how white supremacist violence functions in professional spaces. Using the framework of The Wizard of Oz, participants will examine how power hides behind performance, fear, and illusion. For more info and to sign up, contact fgortere@dcpeaceteam.org. WPFW's Social Justice Calendar connects you to grassroots activism in the DMV. Submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of the event. This is due by Thursday at 5 p.m., at least 1 week in advance of your event. WPFW's Social Justice Calendar helps build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends and enemies, welcome back to What's at Stake, the DC Takeover Town Hall Edition. I'm your guest host, Kimon Freeman. I am joined in the studio with Dr. Natalie Hopkinson, co-founder of Gogol Museum and professor of American University School of Communications, Jamila White, Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner, and Nini Taylor, Harriet's Wildest Dreams, and also Free DC. One of my favorite interviewers in the business, I believe his name is John Lipton from Pace University, Bravo TV, Inside the Actor Studio. And every time he would interview someone, he would close out with the same round of questions. And one of them was, if there's a heaven, what would you want to hear God say to you when you get there? And I think the best response that I heard to that question was from Matt Damian. He said, there's an explanation for the pain and suffering in the world. Come to the back and I explain it to you. Now, with the remaining panel, I want to now have an open conversation. So you guys are welcome to jump in anytime you feel the need to. What would be your response on where we go from here? You know, chaos or communion? How can we make sense of this? Because if we are truly facing like a government shutdown at the end of the month, the Democratic Party has the choice to either continue to capitulate or are they going to stand firm? I'm going to bet that they will blink again, because they won't be able to stand up to Trump in the face of a government shutdown and federal employees being furloughed or flights being delayed because air traffic controls are not being paid. But I submit to you that only a crisis, actually or perceived, produces real change. And when that crisis occurs, the actions that are taken depend on the ideas that are laying around. That, I believe, is our basic function, to develop alternatives to existing policies to keep them alive and available to the politically impossible becomes the politically inevitable. And that's from Milton Friedman, who's no friend of the freedom-loving people. So, ladies, the floor is yours. Where do we go from here? Chaos and community. Can we turn this crisis to our advantage, or is this system, without any resistance, going to continue to capitulate and acquiesce? Lady,
I can go. So, like, for me, the revolution won't be televised. Project 2025 was not something that just happened yesterday. They was planning and strategizing it. They got their strategy together. So right now, it's going to take something drastic to happen to turn this thing around. It's going to take, like you just said, the CBC coming. I've been trying to tap in with the CBC because while Project 2025 was, they were strategizing. We were doing the electric slide, and well, I wasn't, and where those fans at. I was preparing for Project 2025. And so what I need from the others is to get on board. As her tell me, say, this freedom train is rolling. And if people don't get on board, we're going to have a dictatorship and authoritarianism country if we do not resist. And what that resist look like, if that means that shutdown have to happen, it's the same way that I was saying, how people saying that Mayor Bowser, her hand is tied and she can't do this and she can't do that because we may lose home rule. With Trump, it's no compromising with this administration. We have to fight back. Right now is the time that we have to take risks. And hopefully the people will rise and the people will win in the end. And that goes for Congress and everywhere. Right now, Free DC is up at the Senate office today. We up there. We're in there. Last week, I was in the Republicans' offices who hate us. I didn't care. I went in there and talked to them. Because you have to face the enemy right in their eyes and let them know you are not afraid. And so on my right, I go to the enemy's table because that's where we at right now. You have to show up and show up unafraid. So for me, the revolution won't be televised. And I don't know what that looked like, but I know that I'm going to resist and I'm not going to comply. And if you want to get on a board with us, that's where we at. We're Hers, Riders, Dreams, and Free DC. We are building people power and we're doing non-compliance in ways that's going to impact the United States, the industry, right? If that means boycotts, if that means jury notification, when our people getting locked up, we're teaching people, you don't have to vote them guilty. If you don't agree with that system, say not guilty. They can't take your vote from you. Turn that vote around. Don't lock them up. And so those are things that we're doing. Those are the programs that we're creating. And we need people to get on board. Come learn about them. Go to freedcproject.org or Hers, Riders, Dreams. We got an info session this tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Go to our Mobilize or our website. Come listen to what we're building. And if we don't have what you need, you build it and the people will come. It's work for everybody. The labors are free, and the labors are fruit, but the work is plenty.
Mm-hmm. Walker said the greatest power is convincing people they don't have any. Ladies, let's continue this open floor conversation.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm just reminded us of, we're at like the fourth wave of U.S. revolution. If we go back, right? The 1700s was the American Revolution, right, to decolonize, free whatever from Queen England. That came through revolution. 100 years later was the Abolition Revolution to end enslavement. 100 years after that, it was the Black Power Revolution to end Jim Crow. We're at that next mark. We are here. And that's why I love history and it's so important. And it's to remember the moments, the years before the revolution are actually the most violent. are actually the most bloody. So I want us all to be very clear. Where history is teaching us there will be violence, there will be bloodshed in order for us. So we have this moment in American history where at every other junction, America has chose revolution instead of compromise. Literally, the South chose to leave the Union, right? Because they did not want to end the institute of slavery. So we're at that moment where we have to determine, will we revolutionize or will we be complicit? And over the last 300 years of the history of this country, it has always chosen revolution. And that gives me hope, honestly. That gives me hope. Because at every single moment, and Blacks were not the majority at any of those moments, you know, but at every single moment, this country chose that revolution in whatever that context was at that time. And knowing that the years before were the bloodiest, were the hardest. So that also gives me hope that we're on a precipice of something we have never seen before. And for me, that is breaking the system of capitalism, because it's intrinsically tied to racism, anti-Black racism in this country. And whether you're Democrat or Republican, like someone had mentioned before, you are upholding a system of oppression because you are getting your money and power from a small minority of people. And so until we tackle that system, and I feel like the country is finally there to look at capitalism in ways that we haven't, you know, we'll see it recycled and oppression happen in other ways, in other forms. So for me, my one is for everyone to realize where we are, and we have a choice to revolutionize like this country has done for the last 400 years, or to be complicit. Because if we are complicit, then the next change we're going to see is through, it's something that's going to be much more authoritarian, but it's probably going to look like a constitutional republic and not a democracy. Because we need to remember, when those white people got in the room and wrote the Constitution, many of them did not actually want a democracy. They wanted a constitutional republic, and that's why they defined who human beings were, so that everyone in the country was not included. And only a few people actually had a democracy, while everyone else had authoritarianism, right? And so for me, that's where we are just in a moment. And it's young people who will make that decision and bring about that change. That 3.5 is young people, because in every point of history, in every revolution, it has been the youth who have led it. So I am, how do we hear? How do me and my ripe old age of 40 now, right? Empower 15, 16, 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, and 30-year-olds, because those are our freedom fighters, and they will bring about the revolution that we will have. And it will be in a way that's familiar to them and not familiar to us. And so I think, yeah, so I'm going to stop there, because I do have some specific things that I think.
Oh, go ahead.
Please. Oh, no, I want to hear from you, Dr.
No, go ahead. No, please.
Another thing we need to remember, all of those revolutions, when we think about Black people, were rooted in community and were rooted in our faith-based institutions. And I'm speaking from Jamila, not from an ANC commissioner. When we have lost that connection to our faith-based institutions, the only actual asset that Black people actually own in this country collectively is our institutions of faith. Right. And we have lost that ties where we had that rootedness. So we have a real opportunity for faith-based older folks like me to use the institutions that we have to empower the youth who will revolutionize and bring us freedom. Because if we try something else, it's just not going to work. And I think this is where we have a real opportunity for those of us that have access and voices and how to bring that to other people. So I'm going to stop there. But that gives me hope. That gives me joy. I too teach Dr. Hopkinson. I'm at Morgan State up in Baltimore. And every time I'm on that campus, it's like fire running through. If you want fire, if you want joy, go to Black students, go to Black schools to see, because that's where the energy is. That's where the joy is. That's where the change is happening.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, man, thank you so beautiful. Very professorially, you know, summarizing 400 years of revolution and where we are. And we really are at a revolutionary point right now. I get a lot of inspiration from my young people who I'm teaching, right? So these are mostly white young people. And what I noted to them earlier this year is that, you know, Project 2025 was written. You know, like these are plans that people got in a room and they decided, and actually you could sit in the room and we could sit here and write the future that you want to see, you know? And so what I heard from them, which was kind of amazing to, you know, to your point, Jamila, was that, oh, America's about to turn 250. We've had a good run, you know, like, they're like, oh yeah, capitalism's had a good run. And, you know, for those of us who know that capitalism has been a, you know, a cudgel for patriarchy and white supremacy, you know, maybe this is one of the silver lining. It's doing an excellent job of imploding on itself. It picked the best leader to kill itself, to kill capitalism. They have found their leader, you know? And I mean, maybe he's like a, you know, dark horse, you know, for us to, like, you know, facilitate the end of all of this. But I wanted to pick up on what you said about, like, the civil wars and the major uprisings that we've had. I think you're exactly right. And, you know, so again, we're situated here in DC and we're seeing that theater of power, you know, in front of us here. But we've also seen, you know, basically at the beginnings of a civil war. I mean, anytime you have trucks in Chicago set up to protect Chicagoans from the federal government, or you have legislators in Texas fleeing to New York to free states, you know, these are elected officials, right? That whole situation with the Texas legislature, which again, exposed the absolute ineptitude of the Black leadership in Congress. They could have been stopped, denied them a quorum. They have all kinds of tools that they could have used. And it's taken these people in Texas legislature to show that, look, actually, you are not without power. You can do these things. So California talking about removing their, you know, possibly doing a tax strike, you know, all of these sort of military, like, I have my eye on all of this sort of the militarization of this whole moment that we're in. And yeah, I mean, you could argue that we're here. You could argue that, you know, on January 6th, you know, when there was an armed insurrection, that could have launched it, you know, like, we could be, you know, maybe historians would look back and say, look, we're in the middle of this. And, you know, what you were saying before about how the need for us to really build our roots in our community and build on the power centers that we have in ourselves. That's why Free DC, Harriet's Dream, masterfully done this, right? Building in joy, working with young people, using their bodies. It doesn't take millions of people. That's why I'm annoyed by, you know, criticisms of the idea of even the pots and pans and stuff like that. This is about media, it's about narrative, and Free DC has been extremely effective in articulating our position as colonized people in DC and breaking through the noise and getting people to sort of understand really clearly what's at stake. So we have to continue to do that. We have to continue to, you know, like you said, invest in the young people. They're the ones who also give me a lot of hope, because they want a better world than they see.
There we have it. Now, a lot of people are familiar with Martin Luther King's last speech, but are not as familiar with his next to his last speech, which was delivered right here in Washington, D.C., March 31st, 1968. The title of that speech was Remaining Awake During a Great Revolution. In that speech, he goes on to say that far too often people find themselves living in periods of great social change, but yet they fail to develop the new ideas, the new mental responses that the new situation demands. They end up sleeping through a revolution. I submit to you that's the quintessential definition of stay woke, and that's why our enemies have turned it into a pejorative, and it breaks my heart when our people are repeating the words of our enemies. Now, I just want to say that, you know, what Trump orders will you not obey? That's what we need to be taking away and wrestling with. And that's a personal question to you to determine for you and yours. But let me say this. You can't call yourself peaceful unless you are capable of violence. If you're not capable of violence, you're not peaceful. You are harmless. So I'm urging everyone to stay dangerous. And violence is not just you going out and hurting someone. As someone said earlier, poverty is violence. Ignorance is violence. Genocide is violence. Starvation is violence. Illiteracy is violence. What tools do we have at our disposal to resist? Now, I want to thank all of my guests for joining me here today at What's at Stake, the DC Takeover Town Hall edition. And I want to shout out to my man, Mike, that made this all possible. We're wrapping up a little early because I want us to end on a high note. So taking us home is Urban Ave 31 featuring Raheem Devon. Heaven, help us all. Thank you for tuning in. Do something.
Heaven Avenue, help us. Heaven, help us. Heaven, help us.
We got like heaven, seven continents.
Heaven, help us. Heaven, help us.
Heaven, help the kid in Somalia with no food to eat. Heaven help that homeless man with no shoes or swollen feet. And heaven help that brother and that queen he beats in the streets. And heaven create strength for my people in time when they're feeling weak. Heaven help us all.
Heaven help us all. Heaven help us. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us.
I'm human when I'm wrong and when I'm right. Heaven help the blood, sweat, and tears that it took to make this record. And heaven help those that need this lesson to listen and perfect it and check it. Help them all.
Heaven help us all. Heaven help us. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us all.
Heaven help us all. Men, be strong for your ladies.
Help us all.
Heaven,
help us all. Help us all. Heaven, help us all. Help us all.
When you take your soldiers home, heaven help us understand that nothing lasts forever. But heaven help us see, on this planet we got to live together. On this planet we got to love together. Heaven help us through the stormy weather. Heaven help us all.
Heaven help us.
One step away from walls. Walls bursting in the air. Does anybody care? It's a modern day basketball. Are you gonna watch it go?
Hey DMV, Sankofa presents a community celebration in the midst of the madness, cuz it's Mama Lucy Murphy's 75th birthday! Hey ho! Sunday, September 14th, 2 to 6 p.m. at Sankofa Cafe, 2714 Georgia Avenue Northwest. The afternoon is a fundraiser for WPFW and will feature an open mic with hosts Esther Ibarra and Nkechi Taifa, just to name a few, and for you to sing, play, or present poetry or hip-hop. An afternoon of collective effervescence, honoring one of our own sheroes and supporting WPFW. Details at Sankofa.com. www.DMVSankofa.com.
WPFW presents Genius plus Soul equals Ray and John. Tuesday, September 23rd, 5 a.m. until midnight. This will be a fundraising birthday tribute like no other, illuminating the lives and contributions of Ray Charles and John Coltrane, two icons of American music. Schedule and details at WPFWFM.org, where you can also contribute anytime. WPFW, preserving the culture, one broadcast at a time.
The talk show Africa Now airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. It's a modern view on historical issues concerning the entire African world, addressing how African people are participating in globalization, ways in which the rest of the world continues to exploit African resources, uncovering labor violations by corrupt politicians and Western government powers. Learn what's happening now in interviews with artists, activists, scholars, and a host of other experts each episode. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Africa Now is also available on iTunes Podcast, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud on your station for jazz and justice, WPFW, Washington.
The Baltimore Book Festival takes place Saturday and Sunday, September 13th and 14th on the Waverly Main Street in central Baltimore. Now in its 29th year, this year's festival features talks by a wide variety of notable authors, including Zaina Azam, Charlie Jane Anders, Jeff Chang, and Tourmaline, and kicks off on Saturday at 10 a.m. with a special drag queen story hour focused on the life of transgender icon Marsha P. Johnson. Details on close to 100 author events across 8 stages and 6 city blocks, filled with vendors at BaltimoreBookFest.com.
WPFW, your station for jazz and justice, is seeking a leader to serve as WPFW's next general manager. We are looking for someone with strong managerial skills, a commitment to independent media, an appreciation for African American culture and history, and a passion for community service. The general manager will guide WPFW's mission, oversee an extraordinary group of staff and volunteers, and help build the future of this listener-supported community treasure. If you are ready to lead with creativity, integrity, and vision, we want to hear from you. To apply or learn more, visit hr@pacifica.org.
Code Pink, Women for Peace, is coming to you live from Washington, D.C. and New York City, Thursday at 11 a.m. Code Pink Radio is an energizing new program focused on ending wars and militarism and building a peace economy. Listen weekly to robust conversation and inspiration from grassroots peacemakers from places like Korea, Yemen, Venezuela, Palestine, and Iran, as well as peacemakers in our nation's capital who are confronting war hawks in the White House and in Congress and modeling the actions we want our government to take. Again, that's Code Pink Radio, Thursdays at 11 a.m. on Washington, D.C.'s WPFW and New York City's WBAI, an engaging hour of cutting-edge conversation not to be missed.
We are women of the world. We're from the east, south, north, and west.
What's it do if you're approached by the police?
We deserve to be safe in our neighborhoods.
Follow these tips to assert your rights.
If you're being stopped, detained, or arrested, the best thing to say is nothing.
Stick to only these questions. Am I free to go? If stopped by law enforcement, try to leave the conversation as quickly and safely as possible.
Ask, am I free to go?
If yes, walk away calmly and quietly. Running away could give them pretext to detain you. Officers may try an incited reaction. Ignore them. Knowing your rights is a great first step.
And asserting your rights is even better.
WPFW family, the fun begins on Saturday, September 13th at the WPFW 5K Run Walk for Total Fitness from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. In addition to the 5K, fitness and wellness classes such as Tai Chi, line dancing, breath work, double dutch, and more will be offered along with music to fuel your participation. There is something for everyone to enjoy. This event takes place at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland. Details are available at WPFWFM.org or 202-888-5484. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
No social justice issue or movement can escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage from the biggest countries in South America to the smallest enclaves of Central America and the Caribbean, and is available on SoundCloud, iTunes Podcast, and Google Play Music. The Latino Media Collective